Good afternoon. So we have spent some time talking about one half of the wastewater treatment infrastructure in the U.S. So I'm going to focus the next 15 minutes on the other half, which is septic systems. And my talk today will be looking at how we're using modeling approaches to understand the influence of septic systems on fecal bacterial loads in streams of urbanizing watersheds in Georgia. So for today's talk, I'll briefly provide some background on septic systems and water quality issues. We'll then take a look at the modeling approaches that we are using to understand septic impacts at a watershed scale. We'll take a look at some results from our study, and I'll provide some takeaways and key points from the study. So for background, there's a growing concern about the quality of water in streams and rivers across many parts of the United States, especially as we see more and more of these water bodies being listed as impaired under the 303D list. In the state of Georgia, as you can see in this chart, of the 19 or so percent of streams and rivers that have been assessed for water quality, about 59% of these water bodies are considered impaired due mainly to fecal pollution from non-point sources. There is a common perception that septic systems are contributing to this widespread fecal pollution issues, especially in suburban watersheds that have seen a drastic increase in the number of these systems in the past 3 decades. There's also an increasing need to understand or identify all potential sources of fecal pollution at a watershed scale in order to develop appropriate management strategies. Recent research shows that watershed-scale models, such as the soil and water assessment tool, can be effective for evaluating the impact of septic systems on water quality and quantity. The main objective of our study, therefore, was to use a SWOT model to predict the influence of septic systems on fecal pollution levels in streams in our study area. Secondly, we aim to identify the watershed level parameters that are driving our fecal pollution levels in streams of urbanizing watersheds. Let's take a brief look at our study area. So the study area is the Big Haynes Creek watershed. It's located in a typical urbanizing setting in Gwinnett County, Georgia. The land use distribution in this watershed is predominantly suburban, mainly medium to low density residential areas. Other land use include forest and pasture or hay land use. There are over 4,000 septic systems in this watershed, which makes up about 1% of the watershed area based on a septic drain filled area of 10 square meters. The watershed outlet has a USGS gauge station with data on flow and fecal bacteria for model calibration and validation. So as I mentioned earlier, we used the SWOT watershed scale model, which was developed by the USDA ARS. It is a process-based watershed scale model that works on a continuous time basis. The model is also interfaced with ArcGIS that provides capability to manipulate spatial information. The model also comes with a septic system biozone subroutine that allows the effect of septic systems on water quality and quantity to be evaluated. For the model setup, we first define the hydrology by delineating the watershed and also defining the stream network and flow direction using a 10-meter digital elevation model. Other spatial information that we use in this model includes the land use and source data. Also, we use climate information and information on the spatial distribution of septic systems in our watershed. The watershed was then divided into sub-basins, which were further divided into homogeneous units called hydrologic response units, which are unique combinations of land use, slope, and soil. We follow that up by defining the or characterizing the bacterial sources in our watershed. The main sources in this watershed are animal sources such as cattle and deer, and also a wastewater treatment facility which actually ceased operation in the early part of 2003. Also, another source of fecal bacteria is failing septic systems in this watershed. We obtain information or data on animals from the agricultural census, and based on from agricultural census and also from the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, and based on the densities of animals at the county level, we estimated manure input for both animal groups. For the failing septic systems, we determined the number of failing septic systems as the systems that were in close proximity to, that is about less than 5 meters from the nearest stream. Septic system, the failing septic systems were then treated as a point source input since previous studies, and also this current work shows that the SWAT model was more responsive or more sensitive to septic system inputs as a point source input. We then modeled the bacteria submodel, or we ran the bacteria submodel under two scenarios. That is, first, with septic system influence considered, and secondly, without considering the septic system influence. Following SWAT simulations, we then calibrated and validated our model using the SWATCAP CP2 software. We calibrated the model for the year 2003, and also the validation was for 2004, and calibration and validation were on a daily time step. Our objective functions were the Nash Sutcliffe efficiency and R-square values. Let's take a look at results from our study. So we started off by looking at the flow regime in our watershed, since an accurate prediction of the flow is the foundation of any water quality model. We first calibrated the model for flow to optimize flow parameters. We did this by comparing the predicted and observed flow values at a watershed outlet. As we can see in this plot, which shows the predicted bacteria, predicted flow flow values in red, and the observed flow values in blue. The green band in this plot shows the 95% prediction uncertainty band, which is a measure of the uncertainty in this model. And as we can see, overall, with the exception of a few storm events that were underestimated by the model, in general, our model predictions followed a similar trend to the observed flow values, and also display strong linear relationship with NSE and R-square values of 0.69. The model performance can be said to be very good based on performance recommendations or criteria from previous authors such as Moriarty and co-workers. We then proceeded to the validation of the model for the flow by comparing the predicted and observed flow values at a watershed outlet. And once again, as we can see from this plot, the observed of the predicted flow values did follow a similar trend to the observed values, and again with a strong linear relationship with NSE and R-square values in excess of 0.6. Based on the calibrated flow model, we estimated that septic systems did contribute approximately 10% to the total water yield in this watershed per annum. This observation agrees with previous studies such as Landis and Ancorn in 2008, and also Oliver et al. Most recently, which shows that septic systems do in fact contribute to base flow recharge, in contrast to perceptions that septic systems were 100% consumptive. Now let's turn our attention to the bacteria prediction by our bacteria submodel. As I mentioned earlier, we ran the bacteria submodel under two scenarios. That is, first, without considering the influence of septic systems, and secondly, with septic system influence considered as a point source input. under the first scenario, that is without septic system influence, our model did not predict significant concentrations of bacteria at the outlet. So we were not able to proceed with calibration and validation in this scenario. So I'm not going to show any data from this first scenario. However, in the second scenario where septic system influence was considered as a point source input, or failing septic system influence was considered as a point source input, as we can see in this chart, the data shows that the predicted and observed bacterial concentrations followed a similar trend, and also there was a strong NSC and R square values of 0.42 and 0.53. We also observed that bacterial concentrations did not appear to trend with the flow observed flow values in our watershed, and I'll talk a little bit more about the significance of this observation in the next slide. For the validation period, once again we can see in this plot that the predicted and observed bacterial concentrations at a watershed outlet showed or followed a similar trend, with the exception of one data outlier between June and July of 2004, which affected estimates of NSC and R square values during the validation time frame. Again, we see that the bacterial concentrations in our watershed did not trend with the observed flow values, and this suggests that the sources of fecal bacteria in our watershed is less likely from runoff from land areas and more likely a result of a continuous source input, such as a point source input or groundwater contaminated recharge into streams in this watershed. Results from sensitivity analysis shows that in addition to the failing septic systems in this watershed, the soil partitioning coefficient in the bacterial partitioning coefficient in soil and also in manure, and as well as the die-off factors of bacteria in streams and also in absorbed to soil, were the main drivers of fecal coliform levels in streams in our watershed. In summary, we set out in this project to use a SWOT model to identify the influence of septic systems in watersheds in Georgia. Our model predictions shows that there was a very good linear relationship between the observed flow values and the predicted values. Also, results from this study shows that the predicted bacterial concentrations followed a similar trend to the observed values when septic system input or failing septic system input was considered as a point source. Finally, our results also shows that watershed scale modeling together with spatial information on septic systems can be an effective tool for identifying the influence of septic systems on fecal pollution and also identifying septic system critical areas in Georgia and other parts of the country for implementation of management action. With that, I'd like to acknowledge my advisors Musi Habtesalasie and David Radcliffe for their contributions to this study, and also the USDA and the other national institutions for providing the funds to make this research possible. Thank you very much for your attention, and if there is time, I'll be happy to answer a few questions.